CPL Fever, your source for news on Canadian soccer and the CPL. Join me, Jack Murray and Andrew Murray, as we break down the news and the excitement surrounding the Canadian Premier League and all of its teams. We have interviews, analysis, predictions, rankings, and more. So get ready, pump up the volume, and let's get into some football.
Hey guys, and welcome to CPL Fever. It's your host, Jack Nanjimari here. And today on another episode of Soccer Stories, let's get into the journey. I am beyond excited to have one of my favorite players in the CPL on the show. Someone who I have wanted to interview for a long time. Calgary FC midfielder, the Regista, Elliot Simmons. So how are you, Elliot?
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on this show. I'm doing great, thank you.
Yeah, I have loved watching you even from the very beginning. You're such an exciting player to watch, and your passes are beautiful, and I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. Like I said, again, it's a pleasure to be on it.
Let's show it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of yours and have loved watching you. And my first question for you is, when did you start playing soccer, and how did you fall in love with the beautiful game?
Well, that's a great question. It's probably like many, many years ago. I'd probably say maybe around the age of 4 or 5. I think my dad was definitely a big influence. You know, when I started probably walking, I was always maybe kicking a ball around the house. And yeah, so getting into it that way is always, you know, playing around the house with my brother as well, who's 3 years older. And then probably around the age of maybe 5 and 6, starting to get into like little like youth setups, local, you know, just go for it, you know, you have a kick around with all the other local boys. I'd say probably, yeah, fell in love with it nice and early. And I guess that kind of goes into the transition of when my family emigrated over to Canada when I was around five years old. And then, yeah, from there, I just sort of took off with local clubs here in Canada.
So you kind of still got the accent even in those first 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I think the last 10 years or so I've been living back in England. Mm-hmm. When I first come out to Canada, my accent completely changed. I was very sort of Canadian, you know, accent, and moved back to England, kind of picked that up again. But now maybe being back in Canada for a few years, I'm definitely starting to pick up a few blank words.
So it depends on where you are. You start to swing in that direction. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That's really cool. And you were born in like Luton, right?
Yeah, in Luton.
Luton. So the club there is Luton Town FC. So did you watch them growing up, or do you have a favorite player on the team?
Funny enough, I think I went to a few like local clubs sort of in that area a few nights a week, but I never really followed Luton Town, which maybe it could be quite a few people, and even to myself, I don't understand maybe why I didn't support the local club. But I've never really followed it until maybe sort of recent years from their transition. They've gone, like, I think I want to say even maybe like the Division 5 in England all the way up now to the Championship, which is the second level in England. So they're definitely a club with, you know, a lot of ambition, and, you know, for what they've done in the last few years, it's just amazing.
Yeah, they definitely have been really, really cool, and definitely a club with high ambitions. Was there a team that you liked to watch growing up? Is a team that you supported?
Yeah, I've always been a big Arsenal fan. So always been an Arsenal fan. My dad's a big Arsenal fan, so it's always running in the family. But I think that was my first football top, was an Arsenal top. So yeah, I've been following them over the years. Been some good years, but, you know, going through a rough sort of, you know, last few seasons. But, you know, footballs can turn around quickly, so I'm hoping this year, just a top table I'll be happy with. So
well, they got off to a little bit of a tough start this year. A couple of tough opponents, and I think they're in that show, the All or Nothing. They're filming on Arsenal this year, so that should be good. Maybe we'll get an inside look into what's going on with the club.
Yeah, definitely. I a few weeks ago, I'm really sort of excited to to see that when it comes out, because there's always, you know, what you see to the eye to then go behind the scenes. It's really interesting to go and watch.
Yeah, a couple shaky years, but it really is going to be exciting seeing that documentary come out, since All or Nothing does do a really good job. But who are some of the players that you follow, that you like to watch on Arsenal?
It's probably a good few years ago now, but Cesc Fabregas. Favorite player, I'd say. So I love watching him, and tried to take little bits from his game and add them to mine, but he was just phenomenal at what he did.
Yeah, he was like a really amazing player, and he was really fun to watch too.
He was really good.
And he was like a really good player. Like, his passes were nice. And yeah, I think I see like parts of your game that are like similar to him.
Oh, nice. What about you? Who's your favorite team?
My favorite team? The Wolves.
Yeah,
the Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Nice.
Yeah, my middle name is actually Lowell, which means the Wolf Cub, and I've been obsessed with Wolves since I was a kid, so it naturally, yeah, Wolves. They're a fun team to watch. Also, yeah, a shaky start this year.
So. All right, so Jack said that you went to Malaga in Spain. Did you go on like a trial there?
I just had a sort of, when I left college in England, sort of a friend who ran sort of a big sort of football school out there. So I guess it was one where I just went there to, play fit, to get fit, look for opportunities. And sort of whilst I was where, that kind of led on to the Sweden sort of opportunity, because someone there knew, like, football's a very small world. People knew people here and there. And I ended up going over then to Sweden for around, at first it was just like sort of a week's trial with the under 19s, go see the club, see how it goes. And I stayed there for a week, and I ended up not coming back, and my family had to come out and drop off some some luggage and some clothes for the rest of the year. I had gone from being somewhere, and then all of a sudden now at a professional club, and it happened. Sort of the transition happened really, really quickly.
And so that was your first professional club?
First professional contract.
Yeah. Did you like know that they were thinking of like signing you to a deal, or was it a completely out of the blue?
So you were talking about Sweden and not really knowing if that was going to lead to anything more.
So going out there initially, it was just sort of the 1 week, go and train with the team, see how it goes. And 1 week led to, ended up staying there, finishing the season with the under 19s, then playing in the 21 games as well, which then after sort of I had a good sort of, I would say, a really good season, and then that led to signing like a first professional contract. It was kind of you could say like out of the blue, but I definitely felt like putting good performances that was sort of could deserve it. Very sort of competitive, obviously, industry where you have loads of players on the teams that it just depends what, I guess, the manager, a bit of luck, everything falling into the right time at the right place.
And then after that, you went to a club in Finland?
That was first year, signed it, sort of finished my season there. Then second year, I went out on loan to Finland. That would have been maybe just before my time, around 19. But again, that was a really like good experience, sort of my first step into men's football, which is a big eye-opener. Just because, it's a lot more physical. Everyone's bigger, stronger, smart. So, it was a fantastic learning curve for me to, I think I was the youngest starter when I was there. So, everyone was, a bit older, loads of experience playing in, bigger leagues. So it was fantastic to have players like that to learn off, day-to-day, and pick up, stuff on and off the pitch as well.
Yeah, that experience must have been invaluable. But did you find like you had to change your play style at all when you went from like Spain to Sweden to Finland, or did you feel like it was more just evolving, like growing?
I would say I was quite fortunate enough to go to clubs where they all had the same philosophy of sort okay. of that football style. So when I went to Sweden from Spain, mm-hmm. As you're there, you know, his whole, you know, philosophy was total football. You know, everything you play out from the back, one touch, two touch. So for me, that suited me to the ground. It wasn't mm-hmm. a sort of, you know, better place for me to be, to allow me to excel and mm-hmm. improve my game as well. And then going to Finland, sort of the club that was selected, you know, the manager there, very similar philosophy, all, you know, total football, possession football. So I probably had sort of like smooth transitions in playing style, something I've always been used to, sort of growing up in England playing for MK Dons, where it was, you know, total football, playing out from the back, no kicking it. So I've been quite lucky to have like very, very smooth transitions, no mm-hmm. sort of change in play style.
Okay, that's cool.
And how did you find out about the CPL?
Yeah, I would say always sort of, you know, with me and my dad always talking about football, so always had an eye on coming back to Canada, as you, mm-hmm. you know, there was everyone knows it's a fantastic country, you know, to live and to play in. So seeing mm-hmm. that new league, you know, was on the bounds of, you know, really happening. It was very exciting and something that I wanted to be a part of as well. So I was always sort of keeping an eye on it, you know, looking just to see what would, you know, what would come of it. And before you know it, it's out in Halifax.
Yeah, that's cool. Did Stephen Hart contact you, or how, or did you contact him? And what was the transition like?
Yeah, I can't go into too much detail of sort of the mm-hmm. problems that my team was facing in Sweden. There was a lot mm-hmm. of sort of issues, and I still had sort of like what left on my contract, which would have been the 2019 season. That was my first year in Halifax. Mm-hmm. So sort of the way the club, you know, was sort of going over there, you know, seeing the opportunities to come to Canada, it was sort of a no-brainer for me to come out. But originally mm-hmm. I was speaking to a few other clubs first. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, one day just sort of had a phone call off Stephen Hart where we, you know, spoke and chatted. And yeah, so sort of everything about Halifax made sense. You know, everything from even like just playing on the grass pitch. At the time, it was the only sort of professional team in sort of Nova Scotia, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like the fan base was, you know, incredible going, you know, from the start of the season. And as well, even like stuff like time difference, it's only 4 hours to England. So just little things like that, it sort of ticked all the boxes. And yeah, I was sort of very excited to come out.
Yeah, I know that I love to watch you. Yeah, I was a ball boy for the 2019 season. It was always fun to watch you like playing, and I loved being like so close to the action. And what I loved was I was able to see like law players, like their play style, and I really liked watching you because you were usually like quite near to me since you were like in the middle of the park.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
And what was one thing that you learned from Stephen Hart that you feel like impacted your game?
Yeah, it's definitely like loads of stuff. Sort of being at Halifax, sort of I learned about myself. Mm-hmm. Even sort of play away from like football, sort of just having to be sort of maybe a bigger character in the dressing room, because especially in that sort of 2019 squad, there was a lot of characters. And so yeah, maybe just sticking up for yourself where, you know, if you don't think decisions were fair, sort of maybe sticking up for something. That's something that I definitely sort of took walking away from it, because mm-hmm. you know, sometimes maybe if you're, you know, the easy target to, you know, move off and, you know, maybe sit out for a game where, you know, if you sort of have an opinion and sort of question it, not saying it's the right thing to do always, but sometimes mm-hmm. it can sort of put you in the right place where before I sort of mm-hmm. maybe that was, yeah, one thing I'd sort of take away from it.
So like in Finland, it was more in Finland, it was more like they were kind of nurturing you, like you felt like they were already established, because obviously this was the Wanderers' first year. A lot of kind of personalities coming together, whereas in the Finland team, they were already established, players had experience, and they could kind of take you under their wing and kind of give you more guidance.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Even in Finland, I was sort of going there. Luckily, it's, you know, a great bunch of guys there, and, you know, made me feel very welcome, and obviously to myself. But even over there, there's always sort of boys on the teams where it's, you know, they've been there for, I think there was a few there that was, you know, 8 to 10 years at the club. So, you know, for a new person coming in, same position, it's not always easy and nice, but it's stuff that I guess builds your character and makes you, you know, stronger and better off from it.
Yeah. So I thought, I mean, I'm not a football manager or anything. I'm here, but I always thought that you should be playing more in Halifax. So what was that like?
With your talent
and your skill level, you know, I was just like, why isn't this guy playing more than he's playing, right?
Yeah, it was definitely, I think, frustrating, because I definitely got off to, you know, a good start, had a good run of games, and in, I think in that season, you know, we finished, you know, on a good run. I think we went maybe 5 or 6 games unbeaten, just sort of got through to the next round of the Canadian Championship, which was a good achievement in the first year. And then sort of, I think it was after the Ottawa Fury game, I sort of picked up sort of a calf injury, which sort of sat me out for a few weeks. And then that kind of, it was very sort of bad timing in terms of our schedule. The team went on, I think it was like a road trip for 3 weeks where they didn't come back. So it was just, you know, game to game to game. So I think I ended up missing maybe, probably 6-7 games in the space of, you know, a few weeks. And it was sort of definitely, I think, you know, hard to then sort of get back into the team where, you know, boys are playing minutes. I think we went on that run of 6 draws in a row. So it was like we're unbeaten, so maybe not change the team. So I think, probably a few injuries, results sort of didn't maybe go in my favour in terms of how the schedule went. So I just ended up missing a lot of minutes in a short space of time, which wasn't sort of maybe the best for me, to finish the season on a strong point.
Right. And then Tommy Wheeldon Jr., who always seems to make some good pickups. He seems to have some shrewd pickups. Like he picked up Ben Fisk, you know, who I was like, why isn't anyone picking this guy up? Anyhow, so he sees something in your play, and he brings you to Calgary. And you could really say that being on Calgary, you've really had the chance to blossom even more. So what did he see in your play, and what's the story of how he got in touch with you, and what did he say to you to lure you over to the dark side in red there?
I think maybe a big one, you know, from him would be maybe that was maybe being underused at Halifax. You know, I think the play styles of the teams, especially in the first year, was very different in terms of, you know, Calgary always, you know, dominated possession, had sort of the lion's share of the ball. Maybe Halifax first year, we was always kind of like the underdogs going into the games where we didn't sort of have much of the ball. And I think it kind of shows in stats now where we're sort of getting, you know, 60, 70, 80 touches a game, to where maybe when I was at Halifax, getting 25, 30 touches a game. So I think... Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe like the transition from that, you know, is confidence when you're constantly getting on the ball, making things happen. A lot of touches, like you're always involved in a game rather than it just passing you by. So I think that definitely sort of, you know, helped maybe for me to kick on and start, you know, sort of proving myself within this league. But sort of the deciding factor to come to Calgary was a no-brainer. It was the team in the first year. So... You know, as any player, you always want to go and win stuff and, you know, be on the winning side. So, but for me, it was a very sort of a exciting time to move to the dark side, as you said.
They're not really the dark side. Do you feel like there are any other reasons that you thrived under Tommy Lloyd Jr., or do you think that's one of the main ones, like getting more possession and how that suited your game style more?
Yeah, I'd definitely say, as a manager himself, definitely gets sort of the best out of his players. You know, he's honest. You know, if you have a good game, he'll tell you. If you have a bad game, he'll be the first one, you know, to rip into you as well, which I think, you know, is a very good sort of trait to have, because it keeps you, you know, your feet on the ground, very humble. So, yeah, I think sort of just coming over here with the tactics, you know, maybe sort of the English background as well. It was a very sort of easy transition to maybe what I was used to playing back in England, sort of with the high press and, you know, the energy, getting stuck into tackles. So for me, it was a very sort of exciting time to come here.
Yeah, and yes, and Tommy has definitely gone some great playing time out of you. Like, you've performed extremely well for him, keeping possession, and you've just been really fun to watch. Something that I love is that your Calvary is very patient, and I feel like when the center backs play to you, you can keep possession really well and sometimes switch the point of attack. And that's something that I really admire from, like, central midfielders, CDMs. So it's definitely a nice, it's definitely nice to see you do that. So I also wanted to ask you, I'm a big fan of Tommy, so I want to know what it is like to being coached by Tommy. Could you expand on that, like, training day-to-day basis? And what's something that you've learned from Tommy?
Yeah, it's definitely hard work. It's very intense, you know, lots of sort of, you know, explosive drills, pressing, everything, match speed, no sort of a half pace drill, so everything's, you know, full match intensity. You know, we do a lot of with sort of like the strength and conditioning side, a lot of gym as well, you know, to keep in prime shape. You know, our fitness levels are for the way we want to play, of the, you know, the pressing philosophy. You know, we have to be really fit, so it's hard work. But as a manager himself, you know, he's, you know, off the pitch, fantastic person, always, you know, laughing and joking, the mood is always fantastic, you know, around the place, banter's flying. So it's definitely a place where every day you're very excited to come in, you know, have a laugh with the boys, the manager, the coaching staff, and then sort of knuckle down and get to work on the training pitch, and, you know, get the out of each other, because it's very, you know, competitive atmosphere here. Everyone wants to be a winner in everything you do, so it's only improving, you know, everyone around each other.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a very intense, like, training environment, and I love, like, intense stuff. Like, in my soccer academy, it's also kind of like that. Like the coaches, they're, like, really nice to joke with, and, like, the boys, but it's also very intense, and, like, game fitness. And yeah, and I think that definitely shows that you guys do, like, a lot of everything's full intensity, because even at the final minutes, you guys keep pushing for the goal, and you guys still have so much energy at the end of the match to keep pressing, and it's really really fun to watch.
Yeah, it definitely, and it's, I think, yeah, it comes from sort of the training, you know, it's a lot of hard work doing our running and stuff, and, you know, hopefully it shows and pays off in the upcoming matches.
I guess a lot of it is personnel too, because you've probably played on teams with players that wouldn't have done well at Cavalry, right? Because they just wouldn't have that same kind of just ability to keep on pressing and keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, it comes down to his recruitment. He's, you know, he knows everything about you when he brings you in. So yeah, I think it's all down, you know, praise to him and his coaching staff. Bringing in the right people for the job, and, you know, and for the philosophy that he wants to play.
Well, there's the coaching, and then there's also the look. Some people say Tommy is the best dressed coach in the CPL. What do you say?
Hey, he's the gaffer around here. He's my boss, so definitely got to go with the best dressed in the league for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And I wanted to also congratulate you on getting your first ever goal in the CPL with Calvary. And I know it was a couple weeks ago, but you did get your first goal, so congratulations on that. So what was that game like? Did you have, like, energy that you were going to get a goal today, or what was the feeling coming into that match?
Yeah, thank you for that. And it's definitely a weird feeling because sort of coming into the match, I want to say maybe 25-30 minutes to go. I believe we was 2-1 up at the time. Mm-hmm. So I think just coming on to, you know, keepers on the front foot, you know, seal the deal, get the job done, get the 3 points, and it's just sort of like, I think instantly it went on a breakaway. You know, at first I didn't join the attack because I sort of seen he was outnumbered and didn't expect, but when I seen him, Novak, he's fantastic at holding the ball up, see him, you know, turn, it was sort of my cue to hang on a minute, I might go and score a goal here. So for me, maybe unfamiliar feeling being that high up in the box, but no, I was obviously very excited to score and see it going.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling to score. And like I said, congratulations on that, because it's not every day CDM score, but center mid score, but congratulations on that. It was also a really great goal. Like, the build-up was really nice. Like, Novak had gotten the ball down, he was waiting, and then you had that overlapping run, and then you're able to tuck it into the corner.
Yeah, thank you. No, it was really, really good feeling, and maybe you'll have to give me a new celebration. I've been told I need a lot of work on it, so if you can, the next one.
Yeah, just let me know. What I do is the bow and arrow.
Yeah, is that your celebration?
Yeah, the bow and arrow. I find it just fine because I feel like it represents like precision and accuracy. So it's always a fun celebration to do. Plus, if you do it into the crowd, it's like an arrow of like a kind of like a goal arrow going into the crowd.
All right, if you can send me a little clip of it, I'll definitely try and learn it and use it for the next one.
Yeah, I'll send it a clip of that to you.
Lukaku actually did it at the Euros.
Oh, yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, but and then when he scored this last weekend, he kind of did the knee slide and fell over, and then said he's not going to do the knee slide anymore. So, yeah, you can screw it. So I guess the point is you got to pick something you can pull off, right? But, have you always played as a midfielder?
Actually, growing up, I always used to be probably central midfield, but I used to play a lot, you know, a lot higher. I used to be a goal scorer, funny enough, back in the day. But as the years went on and maybe I didn't shoot up as quickly as some of the other boys, I always kind of, you know, slowly dropped back down the pitch to now, yeah, the holding midfield position. But, yeah, it's definitely something I want to add to my game, sort of getting further up, sort of getting the assists and some goals to my name.
Yeah, I remember in the Island Games, there was this kind of through ball that you played, and I forget, someone was coming around the corner. Anyhow, do you remember the details, Jack?
Yeah,
I think so. I think you played you. I asked Tommy about this. This was the first time that I think I talked to Tommy, and I asked him about you. So I asked him like about you, and he said that you started to probe like all great central midfielders, and then you played the ball, and I think maybe it was Pasquati who got it, and then Jordan Brown, he scored it. But it was definitely exciting to see seeing you probe, playing through ball. And something that you said, which I definitely see in your game, is that your range of passing is really nice. Like, even though you're in a deep lying, you're like a deep lying playmaker, so you can hit long balls, whether they're on the ground or higher or like a switch, because your passing range is so dangerous.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that I like to do, sort of, you know, those probing passes and doing it, trying to make a bit of space for myself to maybe get it back and make that sort of killer pass and, you know, try and pitch in with a few assists now.
Yeah, what was really nice about that is it wasn't just the ability to make the pass too. It was also, what impressed me was the vision, because I think a lot of players wouldn't see that pass, but you saw that pass and you made that pass. So how do you think you developed that ability to kind of read the game, let's say, better than other players? Like, I'd say your ability to read the game, both playing those forward passes and also breaking up a lot of plays, which you're really good at as well. So you must have a better ability than average, like at that level to read the game. So where did you, how did you develop that?
I'd probably say sort of during my youth days, sort of at MK Dons, probably, mm-hmm. I'd probably be around, you know, under 14, under 15, when a lot of the boys started shooting up, you know, they started, you know, filling out, they were, you know, bigger, quicker, and sort of stronger than me because I was a very sort of late developer. So I think maybe being, you know, a bit smaller, a bit slower than the rest of the boys, so during that phase sort of made me, you know, have to be a lot quicker sort of in my mind, you know, seeing the next mm-hmm. pass, you know, where am I going to take my touch to, you know, get out of trouble so I don't get, you know, sort of in that dogfight where I know I'm not going to win. So I think, yeah, definitely sort of at the time, obviously it's very frustrating being sort of the smaller, you know, physically and sort of in well, it was probably like a blessing in disguise where maybe sort of you know, add different sort of skill sets to your game that you maybe you wouldn't have picked up if you were the, you know, the biggest and the strongest, because eventually you know, you all catch up and you get on that level playing field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely is a blessing in disguise. Actually, I was just about to say, yeah, that sounds like a blessing in disguise. It's what's funny about those is that it seems frustrating at the time, but really it ends up helping you so much in ways that you wouldn't think it would in the first place. Yeah. But do you, Tommy also said that you were like the regista. So could you expand on that and talk more about like how you play there and how you felt like you've grown into that role?
Yeah, I think sort of that role is, it's obviously not the most exciting when you're, you know, maybe you're watching a game because it's maybe you're just doing sort of at times it's boring passing sort of, but I guess it's a big role within the team to maybe sort of, you know, you're linking your defense to sort of the attacking unit. So I guess, yeah, you switch off, maybe the game becomes, you know, quite scrappy and it starts breaking down. So I think it's a very important role where, you know, you got to get on the ball and sort of make those, even if it's just, you know, like from a center back to a full back pass to, might seem a very simple pass and a boring pass to watch, but it could, you know, get you out of sort of the opponent's press, which then allows, you know, the more exciting boys, the attackers, to get on it and, you know, do their magic up the pitch. Yeah, I think mm-hmm. it's definitely the role that I've definitely taken on and, you know, enjoy playing it as well.
Yeah, like I said earlier, something that I noticed about you is that, like, you're a bit on the defense, but what you're really good at is maybe just, like, taking it from the center back, playing it to the fullback, or, like, playing it into the center midfield roles really quickly to get out of pressure and relieve it. And you're really good at that, being able to get the ball and being able to turn, whether it's just, like, a short pass or a longer pass. You're really good at retaining the team's possession.
Yeah, it's definitely, a very important way, you know, you get into a lot of quick challenges and you got to be sort of very quick sort of with your mind to think, you know, who am I going to play, you know, first, maybe look sort of to the furthest pass forward, but not just passing it to where, you know, it might look a nice pass, but then you're sort of putting that guy in risk because maybe he's got, you know, three or four players around him. So it's mm-hmm. playing a quick little bounce pass. So the rule of three that Tommy talks about to give your teammates time and space to get into their position and then, you know, sort of retain the ball and start the attack again.
Yeah, I usually play as like a cam, but a couple games like against stronger attacking teams, I do play as a CDM since I can't hold the line. So but when I started to play, it is a bit challenging because you do have to be very mindful of where everything is because you're like the defense is kind of like shield almost because you have to protect it, a lot of interceptions and tackles, but also you have to play it quickly because usually a lot of attackers are really fast, strong, so you have to relieve pressure really quickly. So it definitely gave me more insight once I got to play it, and it was actually only a couple of weeks ago, so it definitely was interesting.
That's good though too, especially at your age, to play sort of loads of different positions, because when you sort of maybe get pigeonholed into one position, you only sort of have that one dimension and one vision of how you see the game, but then you maybe you swap to a different position where you're seeing it from a different angle, and it's like you start to pick up different things and sort of learn a lot of the new stuff very quickly. So it's good to play a lot of positions.
Yes. Something that my coach has said is that if you play multiple positions, you'll know what that position needs when you're playing in like the other position, which is really true. And something that I've been trying to focus on, just like to help relieve the team of pressure, because I also play as like a left winger, sometimes like as an inverted winger, so I can cut in.
Nice.
Which is also fun.
That's great fun. That's really good. Really impressive as well.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned the rule of three. Tommy was talking about the rule of three. What is that? Is that a certain amount of time on the ball, or is that like a triangle?
Just sort of like sort of the as soon as you get it, sort of three quick passes. Sort of maybe it's a quick 1-2 and then out to the other side, or just securing the ball and sort of getting it back into safety.
Yeah, you mentioned like the CDM kind of being not the most exciting position to watch, but I actually like watching like a really good CDM, because they've got to be able to take clean touches. They've got to, be able to, turn, pick a pass. And then also like if you're watching a good CDM, they're always passing and then moving so they can drop it and make sure that if they need that return pass, they're going to have it in space. So, and that's one of the things I like watching about your play is, you're always moving. You're just a fun player to watch, definitely.
Yeah, and definitely as well as very technically sound. And also, you're able to, a CDM and like you in particular, like you can, in that midfield role, you can control the tempo of the game, which can be so important in a tight game.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's definitely over the years, definitely each season now, even just I'm nowhere near sort of where I want to be. So I think each season just keep adding different stuff to my game, and picking up all the sort of the advice that coaches and players give to me. So I think it's always an ongoing improvement, and it's just enjoying it at the moment.
So, and your passing is also really great. So how did you develop your passing? Were you always just a good passer and you just kind of practiced and continually get better in that? Or what would you say?
I think I've always been if I had to pick one attribute, I would always say that passing has definitely been one of my strongest from a young age. But I've definitely put sort of a lot of hard work, down with my dad down the field, sort of, working on a lot, receiving on the half turn, and maybe dribbling through this gate and passing it, and just practicing loads of different sort of techniques from an early age, how to receive it, pass it right foot, left foot, sort of inside, outside. So I think definitely putting in the hours over the years have definitely sort of paid off, and I think that's all you can do even now, like the more you practice, the better you get.
Yeah, did you do like a specific drill to work on passing? Or like a couple of specific drills that you feel like really helped you?
Probably just having your dad throw the ball into you at sort of different angles, maybe up high, down low if it's bouncing on the floor, just to to work on that first touch into space and pass it back quickly and maybe back to a cone, working on like receiving skills on the back foot, maybe a little turn and pass back out again. So I think just loads of different variety as in a game, you never know how the ball's going to come to you. So I think it's just always being ready to receive is a key one.
And I'm sure at Spruce Meadows, they always like a good tackle, and you're probably happy to oblige in that. Where did you get, when did you realize that you were really good at defending and breaking up plays?
I would say it was something that when I was younger I was always good at, but then maybe went through a good few years where maybe I lost that sort of bite in my game, it passes you by without sort of getting a foot in, and I sort of definitely felt that sort of at the Wanderers in the first season. I wasn't maybe as aggressive as I wanted to be, and it could all come down to obviously myself, the play style, Maybe not being in the, you know, a different role here, being in different areas of the pitch, different formations. But I think it's even speaking to Tommy at the end of last season, it's something that, you know, we both identified that we wanted to improve and sort of learn in the dark arts of the game, you know, when to foul, when to, you know, maybe be that sort of extra bit aggressive. So, he thinks twice about coming, you know, a bit closer to you and engaging. But yeah, even now it's still ongoing, still working on a lot of stuff. And I think this year it's definitely been a noticeable improvement, maybe in my game, in some stats, challenges, but it's, you know, always looking to improve it. And I think with a bit of more experience, it's little stuff you pick up along the way, that little smart sort of decisions to break up play goes a long way.
Yeah, I believe that, like, at different times in the CPL, you've been, like, the highest person in the CPL in terms of interceptions as well as tackles, at different, like, points in the season. But yeah, that definitely is a really good part of your game that I have noticed in Cavalry. But sticking on the topic of skills, what do you feel is your most improved skill since you came to the CPL?
Probably coming to CPL, I'd definitely say maybe like progressive passes forward, sort of playing them into the pockets. And probably, yeah, interceptions, challenges. It's something I've always, you know, enjoyed doing and always sort of had in my game, but maybe now it's a bit more confidence over the years. It's coming out now, and I think there's definitely more to come sort of in the next few games and, you know, seasons in my development. So, probably progressive passing I'll go with.
All right, and tell me about your mindset. Obviously, you've played in a few different countries. You've come to different clubs. You got to fit in at these different clubs. What kind of mindset do you need as a footballer in order to thrive in all these different conditions?
I think you've got to have definitely sort of a thick skin, just because, you know, anywhere you go, you're always going to get criticism. You're going to have... enjoy the way you play, people that, you know, don't like you and the way you play. So I think, you know, definitely going there with a positive mindset, but a humble one as well. Sort of not having a few good games and, you know, you think you're the best thing at the place. It's definitely sort of, you know, just keep putting in consistent performances and letting sort of the talking be done on the pitch with your performances.
Yeah, and could you take us into the mind of Elliot Simmons for a day and tell us, like, your daily routine as, like, an athlete or any stuff about mindset that you do?
I would say a very sort of, you know, basic person, like to get up, you know, maybe an hour or so before training, have breakfast, but with the time difference, catch up with a few friends, some messages, reply to that, maybe a bit of music, just like to stay relaxed in my zone. Then obviously go to training. It's, you know, you have a good sort of laugh with the boys, this banter, but then, you know, it's back to being serious on the pitch again. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I guess, maybe sometimes the best thing to do is just remember, you know, we're all humans at the end of the day. So, you know, going out and, you know, socializing, just sort of like living a normal life as well, in terms of like going to see family now that they've moved out here, and sort of making the most of being in Calgary with all the mountains and amazing views. Just trying to see as much as I can and make the most of it, because it's a fantastic place.
Yeah, I noticed on your Instagram. You've been putting on some outdoorsy stuff, so you're enjoying the mountains and everything. A little different than Ottawa.
Yeah, definitely in embracing sort of the Alberta sort of female air with the mountains, and just trying to see as much as I can, because for me, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. You know, the mountains and the clear water, because you definitely won't find it in England. So definitely making the most of it here.
Yeah, the pictures do look amazing, and I believe you were also canoeing on this, like, beautiful, like, bright blue lake and that was a really nice picture. And you mentioned music. So are you one of those people that likes to pump themselves up like before training, or are you one of those people that likes to kind of like calm themselves down to be focused? Or
that's a good question. I definitely like music that sort of, you know, gets you pumped, gets the energy levels going. And I think it's for everyone. You have those few songs that, yeah, you really and, you know, no matter how long you have them on repeat, it sort of never loses that sort of buzz feeling. So, yeah, probably just routine as well, finding those songs that get you going and sort of you feel right going into training and matches.
All right, hit us with one example. One song. Just...
I do Pump It Up, if I had to pick one.
Okay.
One over to you. It's got a good memories to that song, so always puts a smile on my face and gets me going, even though I'm sure my mum absolutely dreads that song being played around.
And wait, sorry, you cut out for one second. What song was that? I think it was just my connection.
Pump It Up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Pump It Up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I know that song.
Yeah.
And on the mindset again, when you get ready for a game, do you do like any visualization or do you do any meditation before a game?
Not so far, I would say, a lot on the meditation, but I definitely do like to visualize sort of, you know, what you're going to do in the game. That maybe could be maybe watching some old video clips of, you know, maybe some passing, some goals. Yeah, just to get that, you know, feeling of, you know, knowing what you can do and what you have done. So I think that definitely helps with sort of the, you know, visualizing the what you're going to do when you get the ball. So I think I recommend that to anyone.
Yeah, do you also watch like some of the highlight reels of like Cesc Fabregas or some of your other idols in soccer?
Yeah, definitely like watching those ones and Busquets as well. Love watching videos.
Yeah.
It's almost like incredible the stuff he does, which, you know, makes it look so easy when it's so hard to do.
Yeah, I actually grew up on Spain's golden generation, like Xavi, Busquets, and Iniesta. I love those three. They're amazing.
Fantastic generation to grow up on.
Yeah, definitely is. Yeah, like I remember that I would like put on like the TV like for World Cups or Euro Cups, and it's not like, and I was still young, so I don't really know anything about tactics, but I do like, I did, that's why I like the color red, because of Spain. Yeah. Also Canada, but
and cavalry.
And cavalry. But they were just, they controlled the midfield really well, and it was just really nice to see.
No, wicked. Yeah, it's really good.
They controlled the midfield really well. Are you talking about Spain, or are you talking about cavalry?
Well, I was actually talking about Spain, but yeah, cavalry does it as well, really well. Okay. And in your own, do you have any quotes that you feel like have helped you get past some obstacles or adversities in your career?
Probably now I've got a bit older, definitely sort of patience definitely means a lot more to me, just because, you know, you're always going to go through sort of ups and downs in anything you do in life. So I guess it's just always, you know, being patient, because, you know, there's always going to be that, you know, one maybe opportunity that comes up that, you know, out of the blue that you didn't expect. So, you know, sometimes you just have to, you know, maybe wait, sort of take a, you know, a different road to, you know, your friends and sort of teammates. You know, someone always told me that, you know, comparison is sometimes the most dangerous thing you can do, because if you, you know, you might look at other people your age or position and think, you know, he's gone and signed for a massive club, and it's like, you know, I'm still here. But, you know, if you both sort of, you might go on different paths, but if, as long as you sort of keep putting in, you know, your work, your, you know, the hours that you're in, it's always going to, you know, pay off eventually, and the right opportunity will come at the right time.
Yeah, that's really wise.
Yeah, it's a good philosophy. All right, so you ready to do the rapid fire, Jack? Or
yeah. Yeah, let's go with the rapid fire. Just two more quick questions for you. What's the best piece of advice a coach has given you, and what's the best piece of advice you can give young players starting out?
Probably from the coach would definitely be the comparisons. Definitely the thing can be one of the biggest things. And tactics, was it the other one?
Your favorite or what? Sorry, now I'm forgetting the question.
Myself. Well, advice for kids. Advice for kids that would like to follow in your footsteps.
Definitely just enjoy it. Enjoy the football. Definitely, you know, there's no need to put sort of that pressure on yourself to perform at, you know, a young age. And I think definitely, just going out enjoying it, because, you know, being back in England, sort of coming through the youth systems, you know, there's so much pressure with, you know, having to, even at, like, I think from under 8 or now onwards, it's like signing contracts, you know, for 2 years to keep you at the club. You know, you start coming out of school at early ages, you know, to do training. So I think it's, you can almost get very sort of, you know, football's your, you know, your life from a very early age. And, you know, I think, yeah, definitely just enjoying it. Enjoy, you know, being young, doing other stuff. And obviously, if you have a very, you know, big passion for football, definitely, you know, be on top of it and do everything you can. But at the same time, you know, if you have a bad game, it shouldn't ruin your, you know, your whole week where you don't want to speak. And so I've definitely gone through those, you know, through those phases where it's caused, like, you know, fights. And looking back, it's, you know, it's silly at the time, because it's maybe you're only 12 at the time. But, you know, at the time, it's everything you know and everything you love. So I think, yeah, definitely just enjoying it and keeping, you know, having fun doing it. Because when you have fun, you always play at your best.
Yeah. That's definitely true. I've noticed that as well. But yeah, that's a great piece of advice for kids. And like I said, for the coach, very wise advice. So now we're going to do some rapid fire questions. And as some people proclaim, this is the hardest part of the show. So welcome to the hardest part of the show.
Thank you.
But this is just to get to know you better, less about soccer, but get to knowing you better. As a person. So do you play FIFA?
Funny enough, no, I've never really played FIFA. I've always
I've
played it. I'm no good at it, so maybe that's
yeah,
you spend too much time practicing passing.
It's definitely a very hard game to play. Do you support any other soccer teams? I know you're a huge Arsenal fan, but are there any other teams that you like to watch, maybe in different leagues or in the EPL?
I've been, over the years, like with my dad, I've been so tempted to swap to support and like Leicester Leeds, just because it's too much stress being an Arsenal fan. But you know, betray your team. So yeah, definitely still
Leicester is a fun team to watch, though. I can't believe how close they come to getting Champions League football each year. Yeah.
They're a very good side. It's so competitive now. The Premier League is so exciting.
Yeah. That's what makes the Premier League so exciting, because it's so competitive. And even middle place teams like Wolves, with like a good spell, like Everton, Wolves, or like even lower teams in that, or like higher up teams like Arsenal and Tottenham and like Leicester and Manchester United, it's so competitive for like the Champions League spots, and as well for like lower place cups, like Europa League spots. Because there's a couple times where you would see like Everton like challenging for those Champions League spots, or Wolves. And favorite fruit?
Oof. I would say watermelon now.
Okay. Really
watermelon. So it's go through phases where I guess just eat too much of it and then go off, like, for example, bananas, oranges, and then at the moment it's definitely watermelon.
Watermelon it is. And where's your happy place? I have one guess for this.
Probably the mountains. Yeah. Enjoy going there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the mountains are definitely really nice. It would be really fun to go in the mountains. We also have I find nature just so peaceful. Like if you're in nature, like especially if you're walking through a trail. Like, we have a cottage in the woods, like, pretty much surrounded by woods, and it's really nice to go walk on the trail because you're just surrounded by, like, trees, and it's really nice. So who is your inspiration, and why? Do you have, like, another inspiration?
I think if I go with my family, like, especially my dad in terms of, like, football. They've always been very supportive of me and my brother from a young age. He's, you know, he's very into his, my brother's very into his triathlon and competed at a very good level. Very, very fit, very quick. So, yeah, I think definitely parents, you know, a lot that they've sacrificed, you know, finishing their jobs and driving us both to training, and, you know, their days are not finished until sort of 8, 9 o'clock. Yeah, maybe at the time, you know, when you're young, you don't sort of appreciate it as much as you do when you're older. And I'm looking back at the hours that they've put in, it's yeah, definitely owe a lot back to my parents.
Definitely. And my next rapid fire question for you is one of my personal favorites. So what is one superpower you would like to have and why?
Definitely like to be able to predict the future. But it'd be just exciting to know what the future holds, because every year I always think to myself, I wonder where it'll be next year. And even away from football, seeing my family at Christmas, and now I seen them last week, they've just moved to back to Calgary now, first time in Calgary, back to Canada. And I don't think it's something that I would have sitting here this time last year would have ever expected them to move back to Canada full time.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. It definitely would be cool to know that. But what's funny is that life unfolds in so many different ways, and even if you tried to plan to the last detail, there are probably so many big changes that you'd probably get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like completely wrong.
Yeah. Never predict it. It's exciting. For sure.
Yeah. Do you cook?
Yeah, definitely. Over the years, I had to learn to cook. I'm definitely maybe not the most creative. I can eat the same meals, over and over again. I don't get bored of them too easily, but definitely something I want to keep improving and maybe be a bit more adventurous with.
That's what's something that, like, me and I have been doing, trying to get more adventurous.
Nice.
What is your favorite thing to cook?
Oof, to cook? Probably pretty boring stuff, just like rice, broccoli, and chicken. Nice
okay.
And easy. I feel like I've mastered that one.
Nice.
And what's your favorite TV show?
Probably The Inbetweeners, but I wouldn't say it's it's maybe not for your, for your ears. In a few, it will be good for you.
Okay, I wonder if Di's seen that one.
No, I haven't seen.
Favorite book?
Weird books. I'm not a big sort of bookworm, so probably the last one I've read was either Frank Lampard or Stephen Gerrard's sort of autobiography.
Okay.
I like reading them, but just at the moment, I haven't been able to get back into them as much as I want to.
Yeah, well, they are fun. I think Dero just came out with the new one.
Yeah, have you got any good recommendations for me?
For books, I read a lot of fantasy fiction, and I write fantasy fiction. So I also have the genre. I'm not great, but I heard Dero's book is good, so I might get that. And also a Wolves player. They have it on their Wolves online store, so it's... That seems good as well.
Awesome.
But yeah. And then what's your favorite movie?
I've got a few.
Okay, list them off.
Probably Wolf of Wall Street. I definitely enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't know why, I can always just rewatch it. And I like sort of the eight Below as well.
Oh, okay. Eight Below. That's about... that's about like the Arctic dogs, right? I like that.
Yeah.
Enjoy
that. Two different movies for sure.
Yeah.
I like April, but it makes me depressed.
It's a little sad, yeah, at parts.
And what's your favorite board game?
Probably Monopoly. Definitely a classic. Yeah.
What is your lucky number?
I actually don't. I don't have a lucky number, actually.
Oh, okay.
But I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably just go for number 5, just for my
Okay.
birthday, 5th February.
Oh, okay, cool.
That'd be my lucky one.
Okay, nice. And here is my final rapid fire question, then we're gonna close it off. What are three words to define you?
Probably I'd go with fun, like having a good time, enjoying myself, having fun with other people. Probably adventure.
Okay.
Obviously, yeah, like doing different things, trying new things, and probably family, like being around my family. Yeah.
Nice. I see those in you. And what has been your latest adventure? Going to like the mountains or
Yeah, probably doing the canoeing on the lake. That was something I've never ever done. So it was a very cool new experience to me, and it's one I definitely won't forget.
Yeah,
Yeah,
canoeing
canoeing's
is very fun.
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you taught me when I was like, how old? I actually don't know the answer to this.
I don't remember, but yeah, we have a canoe, so we go at the lake, and it's quiet because there's hardly any motorized boats on the lake, so it's just really, just yeah, it's just I mean,
That's
it,
amazing.
yeah, especially if you canoe in a place where like it's quiet, like there's just no other feeling like it. It just
Yeah,
kind of gives you a lot of peace and
it's so
yeah,
quiet
there's
of sound, yeah, over the
yeah,
water.
yeah, it's
Yeah, yeah.
also a really cool adventure because once there's like this big like island in the middle of the lake, so sometimes we'll paddle over to there and we spend like an afternoon there. Like people have fires there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I know we already talked about this and how like even if you tried to plan out your life to the very last detail that you'd get totally wrong. What are your goals for the future?
In football, definitely just to keep, improving and try and get up to, the next level, wherever that would be. Yeah, just living in the moment, I guess, making the most of, being in Calgary, of the mountains and, everything around it, trying to tick off as much things and doing everything I can here, and yeah, just enjoying my time with my family and friends, really.
Yeah, well, that sounds like nice goals and like stuff that you can definitely achieve. Because like for soccer, you are growing rapidly. It's so much fun to watch you. I think I've said that a couple times in this interview, but it's so much fun to watch you. And yeah, it's always fun to spend time with family. But that is actually the end of the interview. So thank you, Elliot, so much for coming on. It's a big honor to have you on the show. I've been a big fan of you ever since your Wanderers days and even now to Cavalry. I don't know how to show it. I don't want to break this cord. So yeah, but yeah, so thank you so much again for coming on, Elliot. I really appreciate it. And I'm definitely excited to like share this interview.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on here, and the Calvary outfit definitely looks a lot better than the Halifax one on you.
For sure.
Thank you.
And yeah,
Yeah,
well, thanks
thanks.
again for coming on. You've been on our list for a while there.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we were able to do it, 'cause yeah, you're one of Jack's favorite players for sure.
Oh, thank you. You have to hopefully, we'll be able to come out to the Wanderers grounds, and maybe we can, bring a few new tops out for you and do something, which would be cool.
Yeah,
Yeah, that'd
sounds.
definitely be fun. And again, thank you so much for coming on. It's been great to like catch up with you, and I'm so excited to share this interview.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, Elliot.
Yeah, thanks, Elliot.
Take care.
Good rest.
See you. Take care.